Moncrief on News Talk.
As we all saw last week, the horrific killing of three children in Southport led almost immediately to false claims about the perpetrator spread online, and soon after that, riots across many parts of the UK, including Belfast. Perhaps the social media claims and the riots weren't connected. Perhaps the rioters were just looking for an excuse anyway. But what's clear is the amount of lies and hatred being spread on social media platforms. So in terms of regulation, is it perhaps time to take a tougher line? Writing in today's Examiner, Fergus Finlay believes it is. Fergus, good afternoon to you.
Sean, how are you? I should warn you before we go any further that I am an authoritarian. I'm a self-loathing, quite liberal snob and a condescending control freak. So at least I have been described on X today.
And that's just in the last half an hour, I would imagine.
That's just in the last half hour, yeah. Incidentally, Governor Walz, Tim, he's the guy who coined first used the word weird to describe Trump and Vance, and I suspect that may be one of the things that endeared him to Kamala Harris.
Right, okay, interesting.
He's a great sense of humour, that man.
Oh, has he? Okay, that's good to hear. Though then again, that can act against you sometimes.
Against me, yes. He seems to favour hunting rifles rather than military-style weapons. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I'm not in favour of shutting down social media, despite the headline in the column in today's Examiner. But I am utterly in favour of forcing them to be much more open about the mechanisms behind what they're doing. It's evident, self-evident, and I'm not an expert, but it's self-evident that if you say something particularly hateful on X, it gets multiplied instantly and 1,000 times. And increasingly, it gets endorsed by the owner of X, who seems to be totally in favour of civil war in the UK and various other awful things. Talk about lies being spread. A riotous mob tried to burn down a hotel in Rotherham last night or the night before, in which migrants were living in fear of their lives. That mob was led to that hotel by tweets, which included the name of the hotel, the address of the hotel, and so on. And those tweets came from a chap who's now on holiday in Greece called Tommy Robinson, who runs an organization. He claims it's defunct, but it clearly isn't. They have to be forced. Twitter, for example, X, says it has community standards and that it doesn't enable or facilitate hate speech. It clearly does. And it clearly does it through the use of algorithms, which are operating behind the scenes. And they have to be forced to allow an independent audit of those algorithms. The only way they can be forced is by being threatened. And that's what I would propose. You can't persuade Elon Musk to do the right thing. That seems clear. So I think you have to force the people who carry Twitter. You can't get Twitter on your mobile phone or on your computer or at home unless you have broadband, unless you have the internet, and you can't get any of them unless there is an internet service provider bringing them to you. The internet service providers have to be told that if Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, if they refuse to allow decent, reasonable regulation, they have to be taken off the internet service providers' platforms. These are platforms within platforms. But one lot we can regulate. The other lot appears to be beyond us. And I have no doubt whatsoever that if Vodafone across the world were saying to Mr. Musk, sorry, Mr. Musk, you can't put Twitter on here, it would soften his cough.
Right. OK. Now, Elon Musk himself, as I recall, claimed that Leo Varadkar hated the Irish people. So under that criteria, he should be kicked off his own platform.
Well, you would think. I don't know whether Elon Musk is mad, sad or bad. But he does say very, very weird things, and he allows very weird things, but he allows evil things to appear on Twitter, and that has to be stopped. Just that evil has to be stopped, and he won't stop it. So the only way to stop it, in my view, is to go after the people we can go after, governments can go after, which is the heirs and the Vodafones and those that carry the broadband that facilitates the platform.
Yeah. What though, how do we go about defining what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? Obviously, something that's patently false is one thing, but an opinion. For instance, and again, it was on Twitter at the weekend, Rashida Adeleke isn't Irish, even though she was born here and has an Irish passport. Because of her skin colour, where her parents came from, she isn't Irish. Is that a reasonable, well, it's not a reasonable, but within, if you like, the Overton window of expression in this country, should people be allowed to say things like that?
Yes, in my view, they should. They should. If they want to say, if people want to say really stupid and self-evidently false things, I don't have any problem with that. There are, for every person who thinks Rashida isn't Irish, there's 1,000 who are cheering her on, cheering her to the echo. And you know, you listen to her being interviewed, and you hear the voice of Tala coming from Rashida, and you know she's as Irish as I am. That kind of self-evident rubbish is all that's all it is. Should people be allowed to, you know, issue the kind of threats against the Taoiseach of Ireland that were issued over the weekend? No, they should not.
Yeah.
And social media, if social media is facilitating those kind of threats, it needs to be stopped. Not shut down, but stopped. Forced to be open. I mean, somebody needs to identify exactly who issued that threat. And the social media people are the best to do it.
Yeah, well, presumably the guards aren't. Apparently the guards asked, because that appeared on Instagram over the weekend. I took Instagram a couple of days to take it down. Which obviously is kind of frustrating for the guards. No doubt the guards have methods of finding out who actually originated that threat. We've seen instances of that
in the
past.
I'm not sure that they do without cooperation.
I'm
not sure that they do in time. I mean, if there is somebody really dangerous, and whatever nutcase did that is potentially really dangerous, there's somebody really dangerous out there, that needs to be discovered in real time. Mm. You know, it's a bit like the fella on the roof trying to take a shot at Donald Trump. The big failure there was that they saw him and did nothing.
Yes.
But, you know.
So there is a problem there, isn't there? Is there, do you think, that it's kind of whack-a-mole that we're constantly being reactive to things after the event? And in many cases, the damage has already been done.
Yes, it is. And we are ignoring the elephant in the room. There is an organisation called, I think it's called the Internet Service Providers Association. I've written about them for years and years and years. They have a code of practice that their members are supposed to follow. There's about 40 or 50 members of this Internet Service Providers Association. They have a code of practice. You can find it online. No hate speech, no incitement to hatred, no incitement to violence. All that's in the code of practice. The first thing that is in the code of practice is they run a thing called a hotline where you can report this kind of material. And every member of the association, in terms of the code of practice, has to display the hotline logo on a prominent place on their own websites. Now, the last time I looked, I haven't looked for a little while, but the last time I looked, about 1/3 of them displayed it, and the other 2/3 didn't bother their backsides displaying even the hotline. Now, don't get me started on the effectiveness of the hotline, but it's never going to be effective if nobody advertises it, and people who are obliged to advertise it just fail point blank to do it. So, self-regulation is clearly an area that just doesn't work where these internet service providers are concerned. Mm. And their excuse all the time is, we're not editors, we're not newspapers, we're not publishers, we're simply the carriers of the platform. Not good enough anymore, I'm afraid.
As somebody on Twitter just said, spreading hate and misinformation has become a business model for some. Somebody else says, lefties love banning stuff or shutting it. A great reminder never to let them central plan anything. Now, you've already said, I gave an example of stuff that's said about Rashida, and you haven't been in favour of banning that. So, yeah, people can tell.
I'm not in favour of censorship. I'm not. I've been on Twitter Probably since it started, I've been on Facebook since it started, I get involved in all sorts of arguments. There are all sorts of people on Twitter. Forgive me for mentioning his name, David Quinn would be an example, with whom I disagree profoundly all the time.
Mm.
But we do it on Twitter. Okay, we argue on Twitter. And I've no issue with that. I've no issue with telling people that I think they're wrong. I've no issue with being told that I am wrong. If I get my facts wrong, I try to correct them. So this old lefty Marxist nonsense about wanting to ban everything is nothing more than the same old thing. It's you know that thing that's going on British media, some of the British media at the moment, the GB News type stuff,
yeah,
about two-tier policing, they're calling it. They're saying, oh, we're totally against these awful riots and this awful thing. But what about this two-tier policing? The police were much gentler with the protests against Gaza. And that's just false. It's just untrue. Police a protest one way and they police a riot a different way. And that's not two-tier policing. It's appropriate policing.
Yeah.
But it's part of the lie, John. It's part of the lie. And we've got to stop, Paul. I think we've got to stop using words like misinformation and disinformation. They're lies. Just lies.
Yeah. The thing is, though, that so many, and you reference this yourself in this piece, that Nigel Farage, after the killing in Southport, put out this, oh, are we being told the whole truth?
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah, yeah.
asking questions. Now, the I'm just asking questions defense has been used to essentially spread all sorts of poisonous ideas. But at the same time, you can't say he's lying.
No, you can't. No, you can't. I can say he's been smarmy, and that the fake sincerity is driven off him. And you sometimes see that in Irish politics as well. I mean, we're not unique. Nigel Farage isn't unique in the world in trying to pretend I'm just an innocent poor gobshite asking some harmless questions, when really what I'm interested in doing is planting the idea of a conspiracy.
Yeah. So you could also say that, like, we can come down like a ton of bricks on all sorts of social media companies or internet service providers, but as Miles McGoffrin said, that the bag's out of the cat now. We can't really stop it.
Yes, yes. We can't stop it, but we can begin to moderate it. We can begin to. Miles McGoffrin also said, "One man's mead is another man's Persian." I don't know why I said that, but look, you know, sauce of the goose, sauce of the gander, sort of thing. We can't stop hate. If we could have stopped hate, we'd have stopped it in the 1930s, and we wouldn't have had what we had. And the real fear now, the real fear is that people like me, you know, I'm described as an authoritarian and a lefty fascist and so on. I'm actually, God help me, an old-fashioned liberal. And I hate the idea that free speech needs to be tempered in any way, shape or form. But hate must be stopped before it gets, like, we're very, very close to a brink. What you've seen in the UK this week, we nearly saw last November, October in Ireland. It's just too close to a breaking point for people not to stand up and say, enough of this now, enough of this. It has to be stopped. Hate, let's argue till the cows come home. I mean, there's all sorts of views about mass immigration and how to control borders and so on. And they're all perfectly legitimate arguments. Burning down the homes that people live in is not legitimate. Shouting abuse and racist slogans is not legitimate.
It's a difficult one, though. Yeah. Fergus, thank you very much.
Sean, I don't think it's difficult. I don't think it's difficult. I think they have to be forced to be open about their mechanisms, the platforms. They just have to be forced to be open so we can all see it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, probably that bit's more straightforward. I mean, in the sense of how does one inculcate back into society as a whole a kind of a reasonable way of a method of discourse that we all agree upon?
That's... Well, I think if we could start by voting for Kamala Harris, that would be a start, I suppose. But yes, that's a much more difficult issue.
Yes.
The the division, the polarization that has been, it started, I guess, with the financial collapse in 2008, and it has dug very, very deep and bitter. And the mending of those wounds and the fixing of those scars will take a long time. But it can never be done while people are still allowed freely to foment hate and lies where they are today.
Fergus, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That's Fergus Finlay there. That piece is in today's Examiner. Mary on Twitter says, a start would be to pass very strong hate crime laws, requirement for social media account holders to use their actual names, agreement with social media companies that police may get details of users in breach of the hate crime law. Rob, who's in Monaghan, says, I deactivated my Twitter account over the weekend. Absolutely sick of that rubbish. Someone else says, how realistic is it that these platforms would just be turned off, though, no matter what kind of content is posted on there? Well, if it was possible to do it, it would at least be sort of, it would be, because at the moment, as I understand it, the regulation such as it is, you know, people go cap in hand to various social media companies and say, would you mind terribly taking down that death threat? And then it's, you know, yeah, we'll get around to it. Musk owns Starlink, an internet provider, yes. Didn't they bring in millions of euros in fines for breaches of online safety? That kind of regulation is obviously not working, though. Says Ronan. Jerry says, has social media bought the old adage into the modern era? The one that states, if you have a good experience, you tell two people. If you've a bad one, you tell 10. People seem more likely to spread bad and malicious news more so than good news. Yeah, well, that is unfortunately, that's an ancient tendency in human beings for some odd reason. What is it that's wrong with us? Someone else says, these social media platforms have so much power now, I'm not sure they would ever change their ways, no matter what kind of forceful regulation was brought in. And that's a fair point, I think, because, you know, many of them are so big now, they're bigger than countries. They're more powerful, or they might feel they're more powerful than many countries. Paddy says, at the bottom of this privileged pyramid of power, my wife got banned from Facebook for a month because she texted her mum she will kill her. Joking, obviously. Plus her 7-year-old got banned because he uploaded a shot of his bare toes. Yeah, that algorithm needs a bit of work. John says, all social media platforms need to be suspended until they can show they are capable of regulating without fear or favour. Another texter says, years ago it was people yelling on street corners, but unfortunately they now have a podcast. Yep, everybody has a podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.